give. I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. And, you know, Jim, where I see this going as time goes on, I mean, you know, here in Phoenix, starting the 15th, they've got this martial law drill at the 101 and the 202. Now, I'm real curious to see. I mean, I've been sitting on a fence, Jim, deciding whether I want to even go near that place and take a look. And not only that, I'm not real sure how far it's going to expand out and what exactly they're going to do. But it reminds me of Katrina, where they started kicking in doors and taking people's gun under the auspices of protecting them. So, you know, you've got that going on. And I see as this continues, any kind of a false flag terror event, any kind of an attack on Iran, an economic crash, a biological attack, false flag or otherwise, and we are going to see these people, Blackwater or National Guard or whatever, knocking on our doors, probably escorting us off to
detention facilities.
Relocation centers is what they called them, and then probably putting all of us through a strict interrogation, just like these marshals are doing with these people affiliated with the Browns, and trying to find out what their political persuasions happen to be, and they can designate us all enemy combatants if we do not agree with their agenda. Now, this is where I see this going if it isn't stopped. Do you concur with that?
Yes, unfortunately. Especially if it's done under color of this is just an exercise. Because remember, this is to teach, they stated this, this is to teach everybody from tribal police to marshals to sheriffs to local police, state and city and county, how to work with the feds and how to work with the military. And so in the guise of a practice, lots of things can be done, but we never learned they had a practice like this in 2005, and in three cities, and they were supposed to issue a report on what their findings were. They have yet to issue one word about that. And reporters are not going to be, I don't think, embedded with this particular attack on the citizens of this country. So we're not going to know what's actually happening. And they did announce that this is a national exercise. It's Vigilant Shield 08. And the fascinating thing about it is they are still talking about targeted areas in the Northwest and the Philippines and Guam as being the exercise, but they announced it as a nationwide exercise. Now, that gives them cover to do virtually anything in the name of this exercise to show people how to respond. You know, for instance, if they decide to knock on people's doors, the exercise is then what would be happening under martial law. We think this guy might know something, so we're going to do a little practice run, like they've invaded schools with drug-sniffing dogs. They put students in plastic handcuffs in certain places at different times and never haven't found anything. But meanwhile, they put these people through this thing as though it was real. And they could very well do the same thing this time, and that's the part that's very disturbing.
Well, and I've seen video clips of this, and as a matter of fact, I think I ran across on this one school that they went in. They did not announce it. They just surprised them.
Right.
And these students were absolutely terrorized with these men with black ski masks and bulletproof vests and machine guns coming into their school.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is absolutely, you know, putting the fear of God in these people to the point where they really don't know how to react. You know, and it's all a part of conditioning. You know, they want to condition us all to fall in line. This conversation I was having with this very brilliant gentleman last night was, now he watches a lot of mainstream TV, and he was leading in. He was telling me about all these shows that he watched, and I'm talking about X-Files and, I don't even remember the name of some of these shows, but he said it's an interesting parallel of what they're tying. This guy's a very brilliant man. He's a genius.
Attention,
okay, and he says,
listeners who have trouble sleeping, if you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for this sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information, or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. Sorry about that, folks. I didn't hear the music going to the break, so I apologize. I was cut off. But as I was saying, this gentleman I was speaking with last night, he's a genius, and he watches these programs not for the plot line, but for their message content, Jim. And he tells me that there's a number of these that are – they're basically telling us or telling the American people what is going to happen. And they're doing it in a very clever, covert, psychological way. And they're interweaving this in with these commercials that come in during the breaks, talking about this drug and that drug and, you know, making up different diseases for what kind of drug you need to take to numb your mind. And he said it's very clever. His father was a psychologist, and he's going to school to he's going to for a PhD or whatever he's going for. But at any rate, he's telling me that these people are telling the American people exactly what's happening to them, but they're doing it in such a way to condition them and make it look like an illusion. So when the reality actually comes into play, they're not as surprised as they normally would be.
That's true. It's absolutely true. I have a television set that's down to the green and white stage now, but I do that occasionally just to keep myself informed about what's going on, and it is absolutely horrific. The population is not particularly aware of that. Apparently the people who became aware of it have stopped watching because the commercial media has lost a tremendous market share on television because it is so bad. And they're using it now just as a blatant trolling arm to convince people subtly and subconsciously that this is the way it must be. that you have to do these things. In other words, the sacrifice of your freedoms is definitely worth it, because that's how you get to be safe in this country, is to give up your freedoms. That's simply not true. We never did it before. We didn't do it during the Civil War. We haven't given these things up willingly. They were taken, and we did nothing about it. And so the more we do nothing about it, the more they keep taking. Now we're down to the bare bones. We've lost the meat and the muscle and everything else in the Constitution. We're down to fighting tooth and nail over the very basics of, do we have a Constitution at all? And the answer is, the short answer is no. And the longer answer is, well, the final judgment isn't in until the Supreme Court absolutely rules, but they have made enough rulings now that the path is clear. We must do something by way of public protest.
Well, Jim, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I was going to point that out. It was a debate that I was having with another gentleman during the course of my, you know, business endeavors. And, you know, in trying to share this with the propagandized American, the comeback is usually disbelief. And then secondly, even if it did happen, the Supreme Court will never allow it. Well, that's fine. But the problem is this. Number one, how long does it take to get it to the Supreme Court? Number two, how many people are going to be tortured or die before it gets to the Supreme Court? And number three, even if it does get to the Supreme Court, how much of the particular bill is going to be struck down and how much of it is going to remain?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question.
Not much. I mean, all you have to do is look at the past history. I mean,
we
had the court strike down segregation, and we're still working on that. That was a long time ago. Mandating integration, blah, blah, blah. We still have, I think the public would agree, segregation in this country. We still have racism big time in this country. It's sexism and all the other fun things that we set out to correct, because it takes a long time. The courts can rule, yes, but this is ingrained in people, and it takes a long time to change the way things are done. The irony here is that what's ingrained in people is the Constitution. And now, the irony is, they simply can't believe it's been taken. They just will not believe that. It's too big a step. The mind can't get over that far over to the other bank. They just can't believe that the officers of this government, in the Congress, in the White House, and in the courts, are not on their side. But the truth speaks volumes in fire that they are definitely over there and not over here.
Well, part of the problem is the corruptions of the court, because, again, and I take myself as an example, is that when I went into court in February over this stupid little ticket, first of all, they had changed the law regarding, putting the wrong plate on a vehicle. Mm-hmm. They had changed the law from just a simple traffic violation, which is a $100 fine or whatever it is. They changed it to a criminal offense. And then when you go into the court, they show you a 15-minute video, 7.5 minutes in English, the other 7.5 in Spanish, all about your constitutional rights. You have the right to this and you have the right to that, which is all an illusion, because really when push comes to shove and you get into the process of the court, you find out you have no rights. Okay?
Exactly.
It's all smoke and mirrors. So you also have that hoop to jump through in trying to get it through this mind-numbed American's head that it is an illusion, because they just refuse to believe it. And by the way, folks, I want to mention that the phone lines are open. I forgot to mention 800-313-9443 if you want to join into this conversation. But I've seen it firsthand, Jim, and it's absolutely atrocious, but it makes it that much more difficult, you know, to crack through the eggshell, if you will, on these propagandized Americans.
Well, the other thing is that people often go to court as jurors and are under the illusion. I've gone down as a prospective juror and had to sit there and listen to that same video, et cetera, et cetera, and it's all wrapped in the flag and everything sounds wonderful. And then you get into court, and at the end of the trial, the judge informs the jury, as they did in a number of IRS cases, that the judge will decide what the law is, that the evidence per se can't be presented because the judge says it can't be presented in his courtroom. This goes back to 30 years of packing the lower courts with a rather strange bunch of people that we call judges. But the problem is that people in the jury box don't understand what their rights were to begin with, so they can't really argue with the judge.
And you're right. And this is why, and I mentioned at the beginning of almost every show that I have, is it's imperative that everybody grab a copy of that Constitution, folks, this book that RBN's giving out. We're giving them out for free. Simply call in and ask Sandra or Julie to send you a copy of it, and we'll send you out a couple of bumper stickers. Well, we got a caller here. Let's go to Dylan in Texas. Dylan, you're on with Michael and Jim. Go ahead.
Good day. And what's the guest name? What's your name, sir?
Jim Kerwin.
And do you have a book or website or anything?
I got a website, yeah. It's on, you go to Michael's homepage and it's there. It's kind of long.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you go to my website, Dylan, theamericanawakening.org, and then click on guests, and when you look under previous guests, Jim will be there last week, and you just his website's under there. It's kind of long to read, so you just go in there and copy it off of there.
Okay. I have a little something that's positive. I know of one Travis County Sheriff's deputy who's wearing a white hat. He pulled me over on the roadside. His original intention was to pull up beside me to tell me that one of my brake lights was out. And I was parked at a red light at the time, and he was behind me in an unmarked car, and I didn't really catch that he was a cop. And I took a right as I legally could and cut through a closed business to get back on the road, so I didn't have to wait there at that red light. And I ended up, he was following me, and so I took him on a little obstacle course, and I saw him pulling out where I pulled out, and I said, oh, he's a cop, and he's followed me through there, cutting through that property. He's going to pull me over. So I pulled over. And and I did a gut check, because that's my strategy now. If I get pulled over, I don't necessarily plan what I'm going to say. I have some scripts, various scripts, but I check my gut first to decide what script I'm going to use, whether it be natural or formatted. And he was real nice, and I just totally didn't feel threatened, even though he was a SWAT team officer in his military uniform and everything, and I mean olive drab and every fatigues and all, and he even said, you know, he said, would you step out, after he explained that his original intention was just to let me know that my brake light was out. He didn't even mean to pull me over. I just felt comfortable, and he said, would you step out of the car for me? And normally, you know, I'd say no, you know, but I didn't feel threatened, and I stepped out of the car, and after he was finished just giving me a written warning for my brake light, and he blew off the fact that I drove to that private property, he questioned some of the bumper stickers on the back of my car, and he wanted to know why I thought 9/11 was an inside job, and he talked about that for a while, and then he wanted to know why I thought that that we invaded Afghanistan for the opium, and then we got into that for a while, and he shook my hand and left after about 10 or 15 minutes, and that's one guy out there wearing a white hat, and it just really feels good to make an individual contact with anyone in so-called authority.
Go ahead. You want to comment, Jim? Go ahead.
I was just thinking that was a good thing to have happen. We have some cops here in the city that are like that, that are actually human beings. They can defang a street battle with words. They don't grab the gun. They're not in a hurry to insult anybody. But they're rare. I mean, they're seasoned people, and they understand that, and they try and get the uniform out of the way. You know, they'll talk to people and they'll talk them down, but those people are really exceptional in any police force, and I wish there were more.
How much of a difference one person out of 100 can make. It might be your neighbor, it might be the trash collector. You never know. So I'm just encouraging anyone to, if you got 100 brick walls, keep reaching out.
All right,
thank you so much for the call, Dylan. Appreciate the input. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Jim Kerwin. We'll be back in 3. Stick with us. We've got more.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The American Awakening. Short segment coming up at the bottom of the hour. And got my guest Jim Kerwin on. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, if you want to join in. Also, I want to mention, Jim, you know, I don't think all cops are bad. I would like to think that the large majority of them are good, but it's the way they're being trained. And it's my hope that, you know, they have enough of a critical thinking mind to realize that they're being manipulated and they're being used here for this larger agenda. And, you know, to a point where it seems to be working. I know Jack McLam, you know, that's his job, is he's putting out all this information for the police and the military. And I had read a letter from it was a lower level officer that was stationed on an aircraft carrier over in the Persian Gulf, and she was saying that the atmosphere over there on that ship with the higher level officers, there's been three officers that had directly worked over her that had been repositioned or transferred because of their beliefs and opinions, and it seems like there's a lot of them starting to stand up and say, wait a minute, now this is wrong. This is an innocent country. We don't want to attack this country, and they're taking a stand. And also on this end, just with the phone call that Dylan had, you know, in the ranks here domestically, we have some officers that are standing up and saying, wait a minute here, okay, this is one of my fellow citizens. And also with this Ed Brown debacle, I know that when John and I and Randy Weaver went up to Plainfield, we had talked to officers up there, and there was dissension within the ranks. There were people that were not agreeing with what was going on in the ranks of the police. So, you know, we are making headway here. I hope it's not too little too late. Your comments?
Mike, the only thing I've observed that really speaks to that is that one-on-one, you can often strike a balance. You can actually have a conversation and without all the paranoia and the catchwords and all the rest. But when things happen in groups, and you will notice that many of the 220,000 police videos that have to do with excessive force that are currently circulating on YouTube and other places, they don't tend to work one-on-one. I mean, it's a group. And when you get a groupthink attitude that's being enforced from on high in a police department or another or some other law enforcement agency, then you don't tend to see anybody stepping out of line, because it is about the same thing it is about for citizens, which is resistance is futile. You must have only one attitude. And that's part of our problem, is that we've forgotten that we are people and that we are each responsible for our own actions, whether we're police officers or writers or whatever. We've got this obligation to the rest of the country. We live here together, and the police apparently as a group have forgotten that they originally were to protect and serve the public. That's what they're there for. But now it's become something else.
Well, and if you know, I've tried to put myself in that mindset. And when you're talking about groupthink or hive mentality, if you will, in the ranks of the police force, you know, if you get into a situation where you've got four guys that show up on a call, or six or eight or whatever, and you've got one guy maybe that is dissenting and says, well, wait a minute, you know, I don't think we should do this, then they have the problem, the possible future problem of being ostracized for their beliefs because
exactly.
They have stepped outside of the groupthink, if you will. And then they have the not the fear but the apprehensive, you know, feeling that there's a possibility that their quote brothers in arms may turn against them because of their attitude. So it's more like go along to get along.
Like Scorpio.
Yeah, and so you've got this situation where, you know, if you indeed do take a stand against it, for example, Jack McClam, you ultimately would have to, you know, bail from the ranks and not participate in it. And because I know that...
Which is a career ender. That ends their career.
Exactly. And, well, just this incident that happened with this girl here at the Phoenix Airport last week, and I know you're familiar with it, Carol Ann Gottbaum,
mm-hmm.
45 years old, 5'1", 105 pounds, attractive woman that was coming from New York to Tucson to go into an alcohol treatment center, but she was on mood-altering drugs because she was suffering from panic attacks, of which my sister suffers from, and I know what those are like. When you have a panic attack, and it always happens in a public place.
Here's what I said about that yesterday. They aired that tape on CBS early morning news yesterday of this situation, and I wrote a paragraph I want to read you. It says this video that was already shows that we are already at war, but the targets of this war are the U.S. public. In this video clip, CBS News blames the victims of police that have literally been beaten to death for their own demise. Their theory, excited delirium, this bizarre construct puts all the blame on the person being attacked by police and ignores the brutality being done to them. The video also shows that six other officers were beating a very large man to death using their clubs two-handedly, apparently trying to physically chop him down as one might fell a tree with an axe. Yet the excessive force used by the six officers is not the problem. No, this man, too, died from excited delirium. Watch this damning footage. Note that the distance that Hannah Storm tries to put between these crazy people and the rest of society, that's the problem. What is absolutely confounding is that this was aired on commercial media in morning prime time, and it clearly excuses both police violence and brutality without question. While it attempts mm-hmm. to soothe the public by explaining to us that these 180 incidents of police brutality come down to death by excited delirium.
Yeah, and the media is just as guilty because they'll actually spin it and tell you you're not seeing what you're seeing with your own eyes. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. We got more. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Of the American Awakening. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And on that topic for a moment, Jim, I want to mention, you know, first of all, I'll tell you that video clip that you sent me with Hannah Storm must have not been the right clip because I did not see the incident. But I will say this, that yes, here you've got a video clip of a gentleman with clubs, and you've got the what is being put forth from the television screen, which is kind of a, I don't know, I don't want to call it, it's almost hypnotic. And then you have a reporter, this Hannah Storm, that is telling your brain something that your eyes are not seeing. Your eyes are seeing a man get beat up, and then she's explaining what you are seeing, and this, again, is a form of conditioning.
She also mentioned that the coroner, this was in Cincinnati, and that the coroner in Cincinnati had said officially that the man did not die from the beating. He died from excited delirium, which is a term I've never heard before. But he weighed about 350 to maybe 450. He was a huge man. And they were beating him really like he was this thing that they were trying to bludgeon to death. And he died from those. During the course of the attack, the coroner said it did not have to do with the blows. Well, if the condition of excited delirium was being scared to death, which was the title of the video, then it definitely had something to do with it. But Hannah Storm and the psychologist on this little tiny clip went way out of their way to make it clear that the physical stuff, they didn't even mention the physical stuff. It was like everything was taking place inside the body. It might be the drugs you're on. It might be the condition that you're in. It might be the alcohol you've consumed. Those things could kill you, but the beating didn't have... They didn't say this, that the beating didn't have anything to do. They didn't even mention the beating. And you're watching it, and the reason you're watching it is because of the beating. In the case of the woman who died, we didn't see what happened to her after she got to the office. We see a tame video of her being escorted by two cops through the airport, and that's the last we see of her. Then she's dead.
Well, actually,
we don't know what happened to her.
It looked like she was being half-dragged.
Well, but on top of this, she also mentions that the woman had missed her flight. She was extremely upset. She'd kicked off her shoes. She threw away her BlackBerry, and she had three kids. She was a normal person who was angry, and she was screaming, "I am not a terrorist." And that's when they came and got her.
Well, the next question you'd have to ask is, why would she be going through the airport screaming, "I am not a terrorist," unless at some point one of these TSA individuals or a security guard had accused her of being a terrorist to begin with? Okay.
Probably. Yeah.
And so she's like my sister, who I have seen personally have panic attacks, and they are scary. The person is very, very frightened. She's going through the airport. She's screaming, "I am not a terrorist," because obviously someone has accused her of being just that, because that's the way they're trained to do. Obviously, you know, they're trained to look for body language and demeanor and voice inflections and all this good stuff. All right. So then she's commandeered by three humongous police officers. These guys weighed 350 pounds. One of them did, okay, and dragged through the airport, half dragged, half walking. I saw a video clip of her with her hands cuffed behind her back, also chained to a bench. Now, there is no way on God's green earth that this woman could have strangled herself in that position, regardless of what contortions she may have made. Sorry,
right.
Not buying that one. Okay.
Right.
So, and then there was an autopsy that was supposed to be performed, and I believe that they stepped in, and the family, her husband Noah, had contacted, and they had put a stop to doing the autopsy until they had their own independent pathologist come in there to do an autopsy. So I think the police is going to have a little bit of backlash over this one.
Oh yeah. Well, the woman with three kids was definitely going to have. There'll be a lawsuit for sure. But she's dead. And one of the things they were doing, they admitted to doing in the office, was they were taking off her pierced earrings. They were removing her jewelry in the office, and apparently that set her off even more. And but here she is. I mean, she's a tiny little thing, and she's being put through this meat grinder for what reason? I mean, she didn't present a threat to anyone. Did they call a doctor? Because they had one of the shrinks said that we kept referring to her as a patient. She needed to be seen. Well. But in any case, he said that the police needed to go have training for medical things like this, because she was obviously somebody who needed help. And you don't help them by having them kill themselves, because you're overreacting as a police officer. So anyway,
By the way, that clip that you sent me, I saw a 2-minute clip of Hannah Storm. I never saw the actual beating.
You can find it, and the listeners can find it by going to Google and looking for CBS This Morning News and type in the title of it, which was Scared to Death, and it will appear on Google, and that way you can – I was going to send it to you and realize you probably wouldn't get it. that way you can actually watch it. It's not
okay,
very long.
And now – yeah, I want to step this up just a little bit and mention to you now, this is what – people are not only enduring at these different airports, but also because now they are announcing that they have, you know, they have these people that are watching your mood now, and they're watching your body language because you might be a thought criminal or whatever. Now you have, and I'm experiencing this right now, now you have this apprehension because you know that these people are looking for things, so it makes you conscious of your, you know, your demeanor. And your body language, and conscious of the way you walk. So you're thinking to yourself all the time, am I looking right? Am I doing, you know, do I look okay? And so, this inhibits a person's normality, if you will. But taking it a step further than that, get this one. I just pulled an article off of, the Washington Post.
today, or actually it was yesterday, I pulled it off of yesterday's news. But now we don't have to, we not only have to deal with these TSA guys that we have no idea what kind of a day they had the night before.
Right.
But also, have you run across this one, Dragonfly or Insect Spy?
No.
Vanessa Alarcon, let me read just a couple of sentences out of this. Vanessa Alarcon saw them while working at an anti-war rally in Lafayette Square last month. I heard someone say, "Oh my God, look at these." The college senior from New York recalled, "I looked up and I'm like, what the hell is that? They looked like kind of a dragonfly or a little helicopter, but they weren't insects." And I'm looking at a picture of this right now. It is a... it's a machine, and it's no larger than the size of a dragonfly. I'm looking at this right now. It's sitting on a person's middle finger, mm-hmm. and the wings are no more than about an inch wide, and the camera, the whole body of this mechanized insect is no more than probably a half to three quarters of an inch long, and now they are flying around watching us.
That began the original thing of that was a fly. It was created for the CIA. It was a mechanical fly, and they used it to get inside rooms that they couldn't get into otherwise. And so now it's expanded to dragonflies. Cute.
That's what this says. It looks like a dragonfly. But at any rate, the point being that you know how they do this incrementally. Okay. Now they've got anti-war rallies. They've got these little dragonflies flying around that are watching you, taking pictures of you, probably doing the retinal scans or whatever they're doing.
Close-ups.
But this
yeah.
is they're going to step this up as well. You know, it's not going to just cordoned to anti-war rallies. You're going to start seeing these things probably in the not too distant future flying around your local mall. If I know anything about what this government does, and as far as their intrusions, and they continually just keep stepping forward and stepping forward and stepping forward until somebody stops them, at any rate, at some point in time in the not too distant future, you're going to see these things at your local shopping mall. Because they're looking to get everyone into their database. And this is the reason why they don't even need a reason anymore to pull you over for a traffic ticket. They'll just pull you over. And they run a warrant check, but they also insert you into it's another type of computer, which is a national computer. It's a NSA computer, whatever. One of the talk show hosts sent me a picture of their grid. And they know who you are. They know, how many tickets you've gotten. When they institute this national ID, I mean, you've got the no-fly list thing with, getting permission domestically to fly coming February of next year. They are literally going to have different classes of citizen based upon your credit report, based upon the fact whether you've ever gotten a ticket, based upon whether you pay your taxes, and they're going to be able to point a finger at you to say whether they think in their mind that you are a possibility of being a domestic or a financial terrorist.
Sure.
And it ties right in with this legislation that the Senate signed.
Well, a lot of people, I just want to put something to rest for your listeners. A lot of people think that this is bogus simply because the physical amount of man hours necessary to police all the stuff that they have captured theoretically on wiretaps and the rest is a physical impossibility, ergo we don't need to worry about it. But that's not why they're doing it. They did it blanket. Not so they could collect it all, but so that they could collect it on the particular people they're already interested in. And should anybody else come to light, there is no problem with including them in the search. Because they're only going to focus on the people they care about. And they have enough manpower for that. So it is something that we need to worry about. It is not just megalomania. It's not just paranoia. It's not just some bunch of nuts on the web. This is a serious program, and it has designed into it a specific thing that they want to get from it, which is a way to hassle the people they want to hassle when they choose to do so. They want to already mm-hmm. build a file, and once they've got the file, then they can construct facts to fit what it is they want to charge you with or not. Now they don't have to bother charging you, so I guess that's not important. But they can devise a case based on what they think they found or can create to fit what they found. So It's
right, and they're already doing it. And then, you know, tied hand in hand with that, they're putting through the legislation or the executive orders or the presidential orders that allow persons that are, well, for example, and this runs parallel to the you know, our supposed laws of the Constitution, where you go out to an anti-war rally. And, you know, there was a presidential order was signed about, I don't know, a month, month and a half ago, where they can now seize your assets.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's,
I mean,
part of the, and, that's part of the Patriot Act. It's right. It's in Patriot Act both 1 and 2. They can go into the bank, and they can force the bank not to tell you about it. They can either just look, or they can seize and close your accounts. Now, I've known a lot of people this has happened to in the million and under category. And it happens. And they are using those tools to defang, if you will, people that they find troublesome.
Where does this stop?
It doesn't.
I mean,
it stops when we get rid of them. We got to find a way to get rid of those people. They have to leave office somehow. And the irony is of this information that I discovered from way back from 2004 about their legitimacy. If their legitimacy is challengeable, then there isn't any way for them to remain in office. And that is a viable way within the law to begin to take back your own government, because they have made these mistakes in terms of just throwing the rules out the window and doing whatever the hell they wanted to do, i.e. Cheney, Department of Defense, Secretary of State, presidency. All these things have rules, and they have violated all the rules. And you can't just do that and continue in your job as though nothing happened.
Well, where does it come into play, Jim, that any law that is passed that is deemed repugnant to the Constitution, you can ignore because it's really not a law? How does that apply to, for example, a presidential order or an executive order?
Okay, here's what happens. The president can sign all the executive orders he wants, and it becomes the law until and unless it's challenged in court. And until a law is challenged in court and ruled on, it is in effect the law. But if it's challenged, it can be overturned. But the trick is to get it to court. First of all, you've got to know what the executive order was. Then you have to have an instance. Then you have to have somebody willing to challenge it. Those are three completely different steps, and they're very hard to do, and they cost a lot of money, which is why most of them don't ever get challenged. And so that's the point of an executive order. Let me change topics just a little. The president has signed over 1,000 of these signing statements that basically say, okay, I signed this law, but I don't believe in it. I'm not going to enforce it, and that's the end of that. Now, people say, well, yes, but that will be overturned when it gets to the Supreme Court or it gets to the court trial. But how often is that going to happen? You know, I mean, he's got over 1,000 of these. Now, if that isn't disingenuous, I don't know what is, because he only has two choices. He can veto legislation, or he can sign it. He is not in a position to say, here, I'll sign this, but it means nothing. You can't do that by constitutional arrangement. I mean, that's the reason we have a Congress, because what he's doing is he has countermanded the authority of Congress. He's overridden congressional powers and he continues to do it to this day, and nobody, including Congress, has called him on it.
And henceforth, the very reason, I mean, obviously there was some sort of a think tank that got together at some point in time, you know, a sinister think tank, if you will, and they said, wait a minute, you know, we see a loophole here.
Right.
We see where we can circumvent this, and we can basically do whatever they want until it's challenged.
Right.
And the apathy of the American public is to a point where it's probably not going to be challenged. And even if it is, it's going to take so long to get into court, we will already have done our damage by that point in time.
Exactly.
Or we can enact the legislation later on, you know, with the secret wiretapping and so forth, and then, you know, slowly indoctrinate people to this form of surveillance, and then have Congress act on it 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years later, and which is exactly what they're doing.
Right. It's very cynical. The whole design of this is basically to throw it all back in our face, to say that, well, they're adhering to the Constitution, Okay. But in the meantime, how many people are going to die? How many lives are going to be completely destroyed by this? I mean, what happens to your business, your life, your family, all that stuff if you get swept up? It's gone. I mean, who's going to pay your rent? I mean, it's over.
Well, which is what they want to happen anyway. Because,
yeah.
You know, ultimately their plan is to balkanize this country, to bring it down to a third world country, and, you know,
they're almost there.
Border. What's that?
They're almost there.
Oh, they're really, really close.
Yeah.
Right. To the point where, you know, and I'm almost embarrassed to say, I'm not embarrassed, but I at one point I would be ashamed to say so. But at this point in time, I'm saying to myself, look, this is not the country that I grew up in, that I knew, that I was comfortable with. Okay, I want my country back, and if I can't get it back, I have to look for someplace else to live my life in peace, because there's consistent government intrusion that we cannot get away from regardless of what we do. And so at what point do you draw the line and say, okay, enough is enough. I've had it with this. You know, and then there's the argument. People say, well, we got to stand up and fight. Well, you know, that's a good thought, and I would love to do that. But if you're isolated, like many of us are, and you got 30 goons kicking your door in with bulletproof vests and machine guns, are you going to win that fight? We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. We've got a few more minutes left.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. Final segment, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. And Jim, as I was mentioning before, you know, I'm not really ashamed. I'm ashamed of this administration. I'm ashamed of the treason. I'm ashamed of what has happened to this country. I'm ashamed of the apathy of the American people. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I'm getting old. I want to live my life in peace, and it seems that these intruders, if you will not allow any of us to do so unless we lockstep with them, believe what they say, lick their boots, go along with the program, and pay them their usury.
That's what it looks like to me. There isn't really, there's no halfway measure here. To allow somebody to go down that road of their if resistance is futile, and you don't immediately respond to do what you can in your own way to resist this, it's over. You have to, it's a rule of nature, you know. You see it in other animals in the world all the time about submissive and not submissive. And these people have convinced themselves they're on the right course because they do something egregious and then they kind of hold their breath. They wait and see. It's the reason that Bush was flying around the country blind for most of the day on 9/11, trying to figure out what the hell he was going to do. They didn't know what we were going to do. So they were waiting to see, how is the public going to respond to this? Because I think that they were expecting us to do a lot more. The same thing happened after he was theoretically inaugurated, and he was on his way to the White House, and he was met by some people throwing tomatoes at the presidential limousine, which was not filmed. But he, instead of challenging that, he went around the back of the White House to go in. But had that kind of a response met his stolen election across the board, we would not have this situation. But because we hesitated, because we waited, because we listened to what we'd been conditioned to do, which was get the facts first, let's find out what really happened. I don't want to be out there, you know, acting like a loose cannon. I want to be sure of my ground. Well, by the time we did all that, way too late. The same is true with Iraq. He did the same thing to us with the UN, with NATO, with all those countries. He just stormed ahead. And his philosophy has always been, that's what's so horrible about Iran. He has this tendency to go ahead and do the deed and then let come what may, because he knows that once they're there, once we're there in our military persona, it's too late. And people, just like now, how many times have you heard people say, well, it's too late to impeach him because, when in point of fact, it's not too late. This is the technological age. You can do it with a keystroke. They could get rid of that guy in 2 weeks if they were serious. But they're not serious.
They're not serious because they're in lockstep with one another.
Bingo.
And, you know, for those of you who do not know, most of you do, I'm sure, you know, I saw a mainstream article that Hillary is putting pressure on Bush to attack Iran. Hillary and the Clintons and the Bushes are in collusion with one another, okay? Mm-hmm. Bush might say he wants a Republican candidate to win, but the Republican candidate hopefully is going to be Ron Paul. They want Hillary Clinton to win because those people have been running a tag team on us for the last 27 years. All right, the end of another day. Thank you so much for coming on, Jim. I appreciate it, and I'll see you next week, okay? And I'll talk to you off the air. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with my friend John Stadtmiller, whose guest today will be James Martinez, which is the co-host of that show before mine, Cash Flow, which if you haven't already listened in, I would suggest you should. A lot of informative economic information, and I will see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot, and have a good rest of the day. Bye.
It's true.